Okay, so Clinton wrote to me earlier this week. He said, "Hey, Bob, I have a question for you. Processors accessing ones and zeros in memory comprise the medium we call computers," computers in quotes. "I'm using footage of Ted Koppel, the news anchor from many years ago, asking Steve Jobs about worries that, quote, we are being controlled by computers, unquote, in 1980. A computer's content is human-made, Aristotelian logic, but that's invisible. The computer, the medium itself, is visible. The content, the human, the computer, the medium itself is visible. The content, the human, is ignored. Is this a tetrad reversal? People are focused on computers, the medium, but the real thing roughing them up is the content, the operating system, and that is ignored. What they see as the content are apps and programs, which is the old medium, the rearview mirror. Make sense?" Well, I will say this, Clinton.
Yes.
When McLuhan first started the form content argument, he would say speech is the content of writing. So people say, okay, you have the medium of print, and the content is the oral, the voice. Then in the that would be in the 50s. Then in the 60s, mid-60s, he said, well, you know, the medium is the environment, the new environment, the what's not noticed. And most people thought, okay, he's talking about, say, the satellite coming in the mid-60s. So that's creating some kind of environment, and people aren't noticing it. Then in the 70s, he changed the medium content dialectic to the medium was the effects of the satellite on industries and what new industries and issues came in. For example, he would talk about the automobile was not the medium. The medium was the oil companies, the gas stations, the car insurance, all the things that came with the figure or content known as the car. So he went from saying the car was the medium in the 60s, and then it became the content, and he was saying basically all the old societies, technologies, they were the medium, and the medium was the message because you couldn't see the present. You didn't know something new was happening, but you noticed the old media started to get wonky and odd and change and under stress. So you would read the effects of a new medium when there was crisis in the old society, the old institutions. So it shifted from the medium being environmental, but most people in the 60s thought he meant the car was everywhere. That was the environment. But now it was the effects of the car and the other industries that it created that nobody foresaw. That was the medium, as well as the older society starting to freak out from what the pressures of the new invisible environment were creating. So that's like the three levels, the three ways McLuhan changed the medium content discussion, and he was always changing to indicate that society was changing all the time. So he
The environment always became a medium which swallowed up the last thing, which then became the content as soon as everyone was aware of it.
No, it didn't become the new medium didn't become content until a newer medium went around it.
Uh-huh.
Then you knew there. You know, there, like today, we know there, just a minute, that's Carolyn's on the phone. Okay, so the new medium, say mobile phones, we know they're becoming obsolete when mobile phones become a big hassle and start to become inconvenient. Then we know there's something sneaking up on them. I don't know if there is anything sneaking up, but McLuhan said the arts and the sciences, when they start coming up with new ideas and people are interested in those new ideas, that's a sign of what's coming. The new ideas seem to resonate with what hasn't shown up yet, which is the figure, which is going to cause more more effects in what is already known. So with that said, let's go back with what and see what you're saying here, because from what you're saying, you're back in the second phase, that the figure You think the figure, the computer, is the medium. But it's the services and disservices that the computer created is the medium. And that includes the past society, because that's where you see the disruption happening. So processors.
All right, so,
okay, well, let me just take your first thing. Processors, actually, ones and O's in memory, comprise the medium we call computers. Okay, so that is the figure, the ones and O's. And most people didn't know that, but if they got a job in computers, they might figure that out. So they start to look at the computer as a figure, and they don't notice the changes in their life and in the older media. That would be the medium that is caused or evoked by the computers. So with that in mind, what are you saying here?
Interesting. So microcomputers was 75.
Yeah.
By 80, they had a use. But in those 5 years, no one knew what to use computers for.
Well, what were they? What about the mainframes and that were happening?
Right. Those were huge business machines, and they went from being used to calculating the trajectories of ballistic missiles to being used for the first generation of, you know, like polling in public, everything McLuhan talked about in the 60s. But microcomputers, tiny home household computers, that's my focus. And IBM ignored those until it was too late, right? So
yes.
During the 70s, microcomputers were just the domain of nerdy kids without a life who then in 5 years became, you know, billionaires because they were the first ones to jump on the potential no one else saw.
And when did that period? When does this happen?
Between 75 and 80.
Okay.
So in that era, when a bunch of gawky kids, you know, were playing around with their toys, which were just blinky lights, and they were adding tape recorders in them as, you know, early hard drives and whatnot, and they were building the home computer as we know it today. And in that 5 years, that's where, you know, like Apple and Bill Gates came from. But nobody.
That's not an environment yet.
No, but what the environment became big when businessmen and business people started making spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And being able to do crazy math at a push of a button and, like, create financial models. And then the environment took off like mad. In the early 80s, everything transformed. Newsrooms, right, reporters started typing up their stories and sending them over the telephone. And the environment changed in the early 80s. And that's when computers became a public figure that people knew about. Computers were unknown
yes.
from 75 to
so
80.
They were a figure. That's when they become a figure, and people, if they read a little McLuhan, say, oh, that's the new medium. But technically, they weren't the new medium. They were the figure for unforeseen effects that you would start to notice in the world around you. So what were some of the effects? Well, Reagan started talking about Star Wars. He had a massive depression in the early 80s. You had techno music.
Uh-huh.
Art went neo-expressionist. Your Germans came in. Movies, well, effects had taken over, but maybe independent movies started happening. So you just, actually, all you do is just look up some index. It tells you what happened in 81, 82, 83, and you just say, those are the effects. It's that simple.
Excellent. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's excellent. My concern is the separate secret world. Like the wall, it still exists today. A wall was built. There was like a fracture in public understanding. What you're describing there is the public's general mass environment. What are computers good for? Absolutely nothing until we finally get spreadsheets, right?
Yeah.
But the couple few hackers who understand computers and who are still called hackers today and who are the boogeymen of the technological age, the underground, no one understands them. Who are these people who actually understand computers at a deep level? They get the ones and zeros. So the people who get the ones and zeros, they live in a different world. They see a world made of ones and zeros, and everyone else sees a world made of software.
Causality. They live in the world of efficient causality, making things, technical how-to. They're living in a newer version of that, but the formal causality is what's happening to their kids and families and loved ones around them and what's happening in society. They're
yeah, but I would
to
define
that too.
There's two forms of computer. There's computer as the container for the old medium, which is the user's view. Hey, this has a video editor. Hey, I can do shit with this. And then there's the computer as a different sort of form, the
world of electronic processing that or digital processing.
Yeah,
that's
the person who can make a computer do anything the computer is different for them than the person who sees the computer as the six apps they use every day, right? They live in, it's a different form. Computers have two forms, one for the user, one for the programmer or developer.
Well, the programmer developer is more the, have to think of it as a tech, efficient causality, ignoring formal causality. He doesn't care about the effects of what he's going to invent and discover and add to. He's just determined to make some new things for whatever personal reason he's going to get from it.
Yeah, he wants to dump his Aristotelian logic into a machine and then have his own brain mirrored in front of his face on a screen. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, he's the, what McLuhan calls the user is the content, and he's the user on the efficient causality. Now, people do apply computers as a consumer, but they're not doing the producer part that you're talking about, the hackers. But all of them are subject to changes where you could say whatever developments were happening with, let's say, 5 years ago, what were computer people talking about? What was the newest thing, the hacker people? WikiLeaks?
The Internet of Things, the idea that your toaster will connect to the Internet and that your fridge will order milk for you.
Right, right. The more particular mechanical parts of the Android meme start functioning for you. Well, nobody's thought that the effects of that, amazing development, would be Donald Trump. See, they didn't see Donald Trump. They didn't see the presidency being installed. And there's all kinds of different personality reactions to that. Some people, some of these hackers like Trump, others don't, you know. But the point is, nobody saw a large effect coming that these guys were creating and didn't know it.
No, the only indicator of that is that I see so far is McLuhan 50 years ago saying, the global village doesn't necessarily mean peace or quiet. It means everyone's nose getting into everyone's business and shit disturbing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Remember, that becomes a global theater. And then the machines do it more than humans do it. The humans can't even keep up. They don't even know what to spy on anymore. They just wait to be told what got spied on this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Surplus flesh. You can go back and read Croker in 91, 92. It's a pretty good description of the huge disservice for most people of this Android meme. There's lots of great services, but Croker was very good at outlining what became more obvious. And what everybody says now, everybody's anxious. They don't know whether they're going to have a job tomorrow. It's even worse than the 80s. They don't even know if they're going to have a family. They don't know who's in the washroom. They don't know who's president.
Exactly.
That huge surplus flesh just really given up on things. Now, in line with this, Ion is a figure for a new environment, a new formal causality effect that's altering all previous setups, including the Android meme. See, so Ion's a figure for the frequency change that's coming, that is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what are the visible effects on the old media right now? Well, there's lots of movies about vampires and robots and androids and dead people coming back. All the world of the non-physical that Ion traditionally represented is just swamping entertainment over the last 8 years.
Yes, it is. And you've got movies like Ready Player One from Steven Spielberg coming out. So it's this new action movie full of special effects where all the pop culture, it's like a pop culture mashup. All the heroes from all the movies and all the video games all in one big spectacular showdown, sort of like, it's like the culmination of,
you know what that is?
20th century history.
That's the Nova burst, supernova burst of the Android meme, which was creating that access to that collage or overload since early 60s, and then you have the after image is the Internet. Now that Ion is obsolesced the Internet, it now becomes figure as an entertainment. So Spielberg's going to present the media bombardment that is now obvious to people, but it's not the ground. It's not the new environment.
No, you're right. It is the figure. You know how the Internet has become figure. And another way you can see that is the way that lots of websites have to shut down and close their comments section now.
Yes.
That they can't handle their own users because the users themselves are they're not, you know, they're taken over.
Yeah.
Because
they've taken over the figure, which makes everybody a god or goddess or super maker, a super producer of media, which is, you know, symptomized by the Facebook. And
yeah.
So,
I think that's why everyone, if everyone's going to become a god or goddess, I think everyone has to become a hacker.
Well, that's because what more and more people are in, and that's what Trump is. As if, since everybody gets in there and the president is the image of what's happening on the people level, the super, what you called internet troll or hacker, has become president because everybody is a hacker. They just sit there, wait, they nail people on the comment section or wherever else they are. It's sniping.
Yeah.
And so you get a president that echoes that, that shows that phenomenon. And then everybody is shocked that they are seeing themselves in the mirror, but they don't recognize it's themselves. They think it's some monster that took over, and why is this happening? Very upset. And then there's a lot of people who don't support Trump verbally. They don't say they like him. They keep quiet, but they're thrilled by him. Just because, holy fuck, we got a troll as a president. This is fun. But you have to be careful where you say that, especially if you're at some job which could be obsolesced by Trump any minute. So, right? You get that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so then you go on to say people are focused on computers, the medium. So we would call that not medium, the figure. They were focused on computers.
I'm talking about my view is that to the hackers, the computer is the medium, and their own logical programs are the content. But then to society, the computers are the figure, or the computers are are not the medium; they are the content, right? Like I'm trying to differentiate people who understand computers from people who don't and feel like they're taking over our lives, man. People who understand computers are freed and liberated as soon as computers come along. People who don't understand computers are trapped and terrified by computers. It's like a gap. They each see it as from a different angle.
Yeah, so when you write your essay, whatever you're writing, you have to indicate what you mean by the word people. You know, people one or people two. You're going to have to specify users, the hoi polloi, or the techno guys.
Now, yeah, the hackers.
Yeah, the hackers. Now, there was another... Oh, yeah. Frank Zangroni, who was a student of McLuhan's, knew him, grew up across the street from him in the 60s, a professor at York University. He's passed on now, but he did a book at the age of complexity or something. I can't remember what exactly it was, but he tried to point out what was happening in his life as a professor, because his students, they couldn't read McLuhan's Understanding Media because they didn't know what a telephone was. This would be in the 90s and 2000s. They didn't know what a TV set was. All those old objects, they never experienced. So he was trying to figure out a new way to explain the flip from McLuhan. So he came up with this idea that that content consumes form, or the content consumes the medium. And that's the flip that Web 2.0 is. If the user is the content, they have more and more taken over the form of all the different aspects of computer life or Android meme life. So I'm just telling you that that's the flip. The user consumes content. Whereas before, the media consumed the content, and then it flipped, and then another medium came along and consumed that content. But now with the super angelization of everybody, within the Android memes obsolescence of everybody, you have content consuming form. So you got to work towards that at some point in your setup.
Content consuming form. Okay, is that
that's users?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's almost like your hackers are the users consuming form, and form is the people using Web 2.0.
Yeah,
and they're consumed by the what I'd call the endless Android meme extending of itself, its parts.
Well, I'm wondering, because discrete technologies, like you have, you know, like a film camera and a film projector, and then on the other side you have a telephone receiver, and then, right, all these discrete technologies have all become software, not in the postmodern McLuhan sense, but in the technical computer software sense.
Yeah.
So now every machine is a digital computer.
Right.
Or it's all the same. Right. We used to have a whole bunch of different machines. Now we all have only one machine, running
okay, now here's
different
the way,
software.
Here's the word that McLuhan, you know, the last word or understanding of McLuhan that makes it across the bridge to what you're describing. That is the fact that it's a world of process. The super audience working for itself or just media feeding on itself. So the electronic process, which McLuhan thought was the highest form of human perception, when you personally could understand living as a constant process. Now that's been extended by the Android meme, and it's an environment. Every few months a new figure shows up in the processing world, in the world being processed, and that becomes the billionaire for a little while, and then that's obsolesced by something that consumed it. And I guess the world of apps is what consumes the process and moves it to another dimension, and then that's consumed. So are apps?
Yes.
The world of
yes,
process?
Apps consumed websites.
Yes.
Websites were big in the 90s, and now instead of using going to the website, you just download the app. Yeah. Yeah, smartphones consumed the Internet.
Yeah, and the god is the person who can come up with a new app that immediately everybody's got to have, and major leading edges of the industries have to buy them up so they can kind of try to pretend to control it, right?
Excellent, yeah.
Now, I have on my chart anthropomorphical physical. Anthropomorphic or anthropomorphic physical, that's the Dobbs quadrant. And it's consuming, it's subsuming Croker, LaRouche, McLuhan, and Thompson. So the AP... And so I said 15 years ago, the AP is taking over the AM, over the Android meme. And later, AP becomes APP. But the way I meant anthropomorphic physical can be, and I can claim that APP, apps, comes from my chart. Because what I was describing is what I just described and you liked and agreed with, the role of the app as constantly destructive processor. And everything.
Huh.
It would be... a new app is the figure for a new medium. And the new medium is what's going to happen to the old apps and the old societies, whatever it is. You can't even describe what society is today. We can't even say what the old medium that's being that we're looking for changes in. Okay, you wait till the old medium gets a little upset and starts to feel aches and pains. Then you know a new medium is a new environment is sneaking around. Today can you use that old pattern that McLuhan used? We don't know. Most people are so on different planes and realities of app using that there's no common place to say where society is. So that's where we get into ion talk, where all times are happening, or the time that was going to happened before, and all this effects preceding causes stuff. So that's where we're at today. So that's why I say the Android meme is apping itself. And there's a few humans involved in the process, but they don't control it. They just push the new situation into another wrinkle.
Yeah. So I suppose an example of the Android meme apping itself is voters knowing, or well, let's say it's voters lying to pollsters, knowing that they can tip the polls and change what the Android meme thinks is going to happen, and then
that's
right. Out with the election results.
That started in the 90s. The voter becomes a manipulant. He's becoming equal to what was the old huge medium. He's now becoming godlike, equal to the nature out there, which was the Android meme. And as the Android meme gets swallowed up by the new increasing powers of the voter or anybody else in the focus group, then it becomes a crazy world of manipulant satire, and then you have to have hundreds of websites like Alex Jones telling you what's happening behind the scenes, because what's happening in front of you is pretty indecipherable. So you have to pretend that something behind the scene is the environment, the medium. But it's usually anthropomorphized. But it is accurate to anthropomorphize it, and that's why conspiracy theory took over the Internet, looking for the guy behind the scenes, because it's a battle among the Rumpelstiltskins. As everybody becomes Rumpelstiltskin, they always think there's someone has a leading edge to it, and therefore they're the one controlling society. So George Soros becomes a Rumpelstiltskin for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. He's the face. He's the complementary human face of the manipian searching for the man behind the curtain.
Right.
Huh. Right. Interesting.
And you'll see, when you learn how to look at Finning's Wake, you couldn't get a better description of this interweaving, interpenetration, flipping on each other aspects as it's laid out in Finning's Wake. That's what's pretty amazing. And you follow the fortunes of the family, the father, the mother, and the two twin boys, and the sister. You watch what happens to them. Eventually, they're described as male, female, and it's all mixed up. You think you're reading about the daughter, but you're reading about the father. And then that flips into one of the boys. So the constant flipping is the electronic process, the digital process that is the Android meme. That's so hyper right now, and Joyce figured out a way to describe that. And, of course, till we had this experience, the Finney's Wake was not readable. Because nobody, it was referring to something that hadn't arrived yet.
Yes, the effect preceding the cause.
Yeah. So when you talk about, you say, which is the old medium and the rearview mirror, the cliche archetype flipping going on, and McLuhan says cliche and archetype eventually become interchangeable. So one, the opposites don't mean opposites anymore. We can say we don't know what the reversals are. You can make general statements that, you know, Trump is a reversal of Obama, you know, but there's so much other stuff going on in the world that doesn't have any, you can't anchor your being on that. And so...
Well, I've got some good ideas about
here's
that.
Here's the thing. The tetrad, the four parts, the four laws, once you get into this electronic digital processing thing of the post-Android meme, that's called the pentad. That's the machine tetrading itself. Just want to tell you what that term means, pentad. And that's where Coker spends a lot of time trying to describe the pentadic process.
What is the fifth law?
The pentad, where the machine takes over the tetrad. Now, Zingroni was the one who proposed the fifth law, which was basically that there's increasing fusion among the parts of the machine. So the fusion principle, McLuhan never talked about. So I kind of agree in my essay, Up the Orphic Ante, 22 years ago, with Zingroni's use of the word fusion for the fifth law. And that's where the name Pentad came from. But nobody, there's too much chaos in the world for anybody to agree to anybody, because everybody's trying to make their own app to make sure they become George Soros for a few minutes, you know? So
right. Of course. So the fusion is what comes after the fission of the fragmentation.
Of
the breakdown in the 50s or 60s or whatever.
Yeah, and then the cold fusion, the technology we've made is incredible and not understandable in normal terms. And then holeopathic means the Android meme fuses its parts and keeps fusing and then getting more homeopathic, more and more refined. And more powerful as it gets more refined. So that.
Well, we need. Yeah, at some point though, is there? You think there's like analog degeneration, like copies of a copy of a copy of a copy, to where TV shows seem fake and cliche because
that's
synthesized.
Normal. As a matter of fact, most people know that point. They've experienced that. They've been around long enough to see degeneration in all the normal trends. It's common awareness to know that. The flip is going to happen to whoever is famous.
Yeah.
See, it's happened. So and that's what Coker calls the economy being run on abuse value, not surplus value or symbolic exchange value and all those economic terms. It's actually just pure abuse. So when you'll notice I noticed in the 80s and 90s, a lot of the rock groups, as they started to become famous, they were a bit cautious. They weren't happy that they were famous. It seemed so many collapses, suicides before that. They knew this fame thing wasn't what it was, the cliche glamour of it wasn't real. And they also started to notice the Android meme was actually abusing everybody, and it needed its content. So that became general awareness, I don't know, in the 80s, 90s. And then you have in the 90s people trying to, bands and musical performance situations, trying to avoid the media, getting charisma by not being sucked in. And they got sort of pissed off when they got caught and became famous for a while. Then nobody cared. Once you get into Web 2.0, everybody was just doing their own thing, and they weren't really consumers anymore. So they call that the collapse of the music industry, the film industry, and whatever other industries, the book industry, those analog media – don't have a sense of a viable industry, and they've just been struggling for 20 years, and usually marketing themselves to third world countries that still are a phase back.
Yeah, yeah. So what you said in the 90s there about them trying to not sell out, that's like a retrieval of the punk aesthetic kind of, right?
Yeah, yeah. The punks were the reaction to the disco. And this dialectic of I'm going to not put up with the mainstream, and the mainstream still mutating from its own medium changes, so no one could decide which was more important to be. And so they all eventually end up, you know, going to the same parties in New York, the punks and the disco people. And it's like McLuhan said in the 50s that corporations, their boards were run by utterly unlike entities, meaning there'd be some guy from Harvard, another guy from General Motors, and the third guy would be a mafia guy. That would be the makeup of a board. So on the high levels of hardware, the mixture of unlike inputs started to happen. And then that became part of the social life by the 80s, where you'd have the Queen of New York, Miss Turning Taxes, hanging out with the guy from RIM. So when you realize, you have to read Coker to realize how far gone it was in reality 25 years ago. Then you can see that 7 years later, 2009, the deepest ground would show up. It's perfectly timed. It wouldn't happen in 2001. It wouldn't happen in 93. You have to have all that happen in the George Bush Jr.'s void presidency, the naughty knots, the nothing zone, had to really be rubbed into everybody's face until the final extension showed up. That's what your chart's going to have to go, Clinton, as mine does.